Hello, I am Tony Way.
This is Rhys Thomas, Tony Way's friend from school from a long time ago.
Probably don't need to get that close to the microphone. It might be a bit loud.
All right. I've worked with the microphone before.
I know. Don't be fooled by the green dots going up on the screen. That looks like it's really low, the recording, but it's actually quite loud.
Where's the producer?
We're looking at the producer now. I'm going to take a picture of the producer and I'm going to make it the... it's a little baby doll with a pink bow on its head. It's made of plastic.
Do you know what? You can actually see... I mean, you know that thing where... You know when you were younger and you'd always look at the baby's knickers?
No.
No, the thing where... You
the
know,
baby's knickers or the doll's knickers?
The doll's knickers. You'd look at the doll's knickers and you'd have a look to see what was behind it.
What's behind this one?
Let's have a look.
This is disturbing.
Let's have a little look. Nothing there. Nothing there. Just nothing plain.
Good. I don't think... Yeah.
Should I draw a little...
No. Don't touch it. We've decided to do a podcast. It's a Wednesday
Christmas.
Night. It's nearly a week till Christmas, or a week and a bit till Christmas. We're having a beer in the garden. And
so you've got two teeth through this little doll.
Well, I would say that the doll is too small to have any teeth. I would say that it's too much of a baby to have teeth.
No, but some babies have teeth. Some babies are born with a full set of teeth, as you well know.
What?
You don't know this. See, you don't know about children. So I've got two children. Some babies are born with a full set of teeth.
No.
They are. And that's why breastfeeding can be obviously very painful.
Is that like when the babies are born all covered in hair? Because of...
No, it's when the baby's born with teeth.
No, but is it similar? Is it like a problem that's happened in birth?
No, it's not a problem. It's a good thing, maybe.
Well, it's not for breastfeeding.
It's not
it?
Good for the mother, but it's good for the kid because they have a full set of teeth. I always thought to myself, it would be quite good if humans had teeth like sharks, whereby you lose one set and then new set will appear.
Well, we have that a bit.
They have two sets.
Changes at 8 or 9, something like that, or maybe even earlier.
Well, seven or eight. Do you remember that feeling, though? Do you remember that feeling when you had to... When you would have to pull
when
a tooth
I was a shark,
out.
Yeah.
I hated that.
I used to quite enjoy having a wobbly tooth, and losing it was a bit... I used to make me feel a bit sad.
That feeling, though, when you pull one out, and you go, dum, and then you feel that little empty
The pulling
gap.
Out was horrible, but having one that was loose, and you could twist it, and it was like an itchy pain, but it was... You couldn't quite...
Do you chew your teeth at night, at bed?
I sometimes grind my teeth, yes.
Grinding teeth, that's the thing.
I don't know what it's... It's indicative of something. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why.
Cocaine habit?
I haven't got a cocaine habit. I snore... It might be something to do with the snoring.
Now, listen, I
might be grinding my teeth to stop myself from waking myself up.
Here's a question.
Yes.
You snore when you're on your back, though?
Snore when I'm on my back and then when I've had a drink.
Okay, I only snore when I'm on my back.
Yeah, I do too.
If I sleep on the side, I don't snore.
Yeah, but I don't like sleeping on my side.
I like
sleeping with my nuts out, full spread-eagled on my back.
Do you sleep naked or with clothes?
Pants.
I sleep naked.
In the absolute winter, I may put an old T-shirt on, but I normally just wear my pants.
I sleep
because I get quite a lot of early deliveries, Amazon, that sort of thing. You have to jump up and run to the door, and in that time it takes to put some pants on, they may go. They don't hang about. And then you've got a bloody failed delivery.
You're talking about your balls or the
both,
postman?
Both. If I'm rushing my balls out, I could be gone, caught in a door. At the moment, I've got a Christmas tree between me and my bedroom door and my front door. There's a Christmas tree. I could catch anything on that. It would be... Anyway, I should probably explain what this is. Me and Rhys were just having a chat in the back garden. We're having a couple of beers.
I'm drinking wine. I don't drink
Rhys
beer.
Rhys is drinking wine. Which wine is it?
It's a wine I bought. I sound very middle class here. It's a wine I bought for my cleaner. But in the end, I've started drinking it. Listen, just because I have a cleaner doesn't mean I've got a lot of money. I am very much in debt.
And do you get invoices for your cleaner?
No.
Where do you know? Is she probably illegal?
She is illegal, and she's a lovely person, and she's very kind. She's not a kind of a Jude Law style kind of cleaner.
I don't know what that means.
Well, she's not someone that you know Jude Law would sleep with.
Oh, I see. Yes, I understand. I was trying.
My cleaner is best described.
Is she a clean cleaner.
It's your cleaner as well.
I know. Yeah, I just wanted. They
you
don't know that. Though,
but
do
you
they?
Know what she looks like.
I do know what she looks
so
like.
So why are you...
But for the benefit of the podcast...
For the benefit of the podcast, you know what she looks like? She's got the hair of Brian May, genuinely true. He knows it's true because that's why he's laughing. And she has kind of the face of... She does have the face of an Eastern European. But
what does that mean?
Well, that kind of slightly older before
depressed.
Her years and depressed and thinking, why am I here? I should be somewhere else. And why am I
but
working so hard?
She is lovely.
She's the loveliest person in the world. And today I kissed her goodbye, and she actually kissed my neck.
Now you've drunk her wine.
Yes, but when she kissed me goodbye on my neck, I thought, that's odd.
What do you think she was doing?
No, I said, oh, look, goodbye. She had a recent bereavement.
Did she
okay.
whisper something as she kissed
her?
No,
I just said, oh, look, have a nice Christmas. I know you've had a bad time. See you later. And I gave her a hug and said, oh, Merry Christmas. And she kissed my neck.
She went in for a hickey.
The kind of kiss it was purely innocent. But, you know, if it had a jealous wife, she'd say, well, what kind of kiss was that then?
Well, she might be jealous now if she hears this.
She won't listen to this.
You've told her already. You're quite open with
I haven't told her this yet.
Oh, God, Rhys. You've got a kiss.
The floodgates, yeah?
Floodgates are open.
But, you know...
But anyway, let me just finish saying what we're doing. We've been talking for ages about doing a podcast.
This is like being on a proper radio programme.
It is. Just imagine there's four people listening to this.
How many people are listening to this?
Oh, let me just look and look at Barb. 1 second. 2 million.
Oh, my God, this is like...
This is doing well. We've only been on for 5 minutes.
Fuck the Ricky Gervais type thing.
Well, the podcast, Well, I think we've probably got more listeners than him already.
Listen, I'm telling
even,
you now.
Even though this hasn't even been put out yet, we've got more listeners and viewers. People are looking at
it. Can they look at this as well?
They could look at it, but there's not a lot happening.
Here's a picture.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put pictures in this. Right. There might not be a promise.
No fancy stuff.
There's no fancy stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, we were talking about garden, and Rhys suddenly said, let's do a podcast. I was trying to teach Rhys how to build a website and how to get a domain name to forward to a website that he's built. To be honest, his website looks a little bit old that he's built. He did build it 2 years ago, but it's never been published, and it's publishing in the other room as we speak. So Rhys Thomas, they could have Rhys Thomas online... Within weeks.
I have lovely people
who... But anyway, we decided to... All right. Rhys said, let's do it now. We've talked about it for ages. Let's have a... So this is a test. Don't expect too much. We haven't planned...
No, come on. Look, I only believe in giving the best.
Yeah. When's that going to start?
I never knew Red Stripe was Jamaican.
Red Stripe is a Jamaican lager. I like Red Stripe and I like rum.
So you're like a Jamaican baby.
I'm like... Well, I don't think the baby's drinking, but I'm like a Jamaican man.
What I love about the Jamaicans is they've got such a brilliant sort of way about the way they are. You know, they are completely laid back.
Well, if you go by the Lilt adverts, yeah.
Where is Lilt? Where's that gone?
I don't know. I think it still exists. I know a lot of people that love to have vodka and Lilt. They say it tastes like a punch.
Mm.
I'm not a fan. It makes me get a bit acidic. A
well,
bit
look,
burps.
Here you go. Let me see. Here's something I've got here. Look.
Okay.
This is...
They can't see, no one can see this, so right, describe okay. what you're holding.
I'm holding a tube of Smarties.
Yes, it's pink, which is...
And every Smartie in the box, in the tube, I should say, is pink.
So I'm going to say, just to describe it, that it's a tube of Smarties that in height and width is probably about six times the size of a normal Smartie.
12 tube. Inches.
It's a 12-incher, and every single Smartie is pink.
Yeah. Now... They
so why? Is that to sell Smarties to girls more? Are they considered more of a boy's chocolate?
If Smarties always had the answer, right? Can't Smarties solve the Middle East map to freedom?
Yeah, they could. Observational comedy from...
Thank you very much.
1992. When did Smarties have the answer? From 1989.
Tony.
Yeah.
There are people making... Oh, God. I saw tonight... Okay. I happened to turn over to watch a tiny bit of the Royal Variety performance, and Peter
is it on tonight?
Peter Kay's got so fat.
Well, he's never been small.
No, but he's now really fat.
How many stones do you think he is? If you had to guess.
50.
50?
50 stones.
50 stones?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
But, you know, he's very funny. He makes me laugh.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he? I remember, actually, weirdly, I don't know if you've watched it back recently, but we were watching... Well, you did. We watched a bit of it together. Barking DVD that was re-released. Well, it was released. It was never re-released.
No.
It wasn't released in the first place.
No.
Peter Kay's sketch, one sketch he does in that, he manages to get the front cover of the Barking DVD.
Yeah.
Despite being in one sketch.
Looking half the size he is now.
Half the size. But he was half the age, third of the age. 10, 12 years ago, he's young. He's about our age. But yeah, a bit older.
He's older than us.
But anyway, his sketch in it is one of the best sketches in that thing.
Mm.
Ours, disappointing, I would
very
say.
Disappointing.
But we were very young.
Yeah, but he was not much older than us. So,
no. We were rubbish. We're not as good as Peter Kay.
I slightly realised that maybe I am rubbish.
What makes you think that? The disappointments, the failures?
Well, you know, yes, the depression. You know, like, yeah, I think maybe, but you know what, you never give up.
No, never give up, even if you're rubbish.
Let me tell you something now. Another thing I saw today on television was on UK Gold, or Dave, that was on Dave, Gold, it was called Gold, it's now called Gold, right?
UK Gold is now called Gold.
Yeah, it wasn't Dave, it was Gold, it was Gold. Right. They had a Christmas special of One Foot in the Grave from 1996. The famous episode where, you know, when he's on the...
Not when he dies.
No, you know, he's on a lawnmower. Yes. And he goes, and Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man's playing. And he drives... Yes. And it was so bad. Here's the situation. Okay, here's the situation. I remember seeing it at the time thinking, oh, this is hilarious. Now, bearing in mind, ladies and gentlemen, when you make a television programme, you do two things, right? You can use famous songs for clearance on UK broadcast television. So, if it was on BBC One at the time, you could have the Birds playing Mr. Tambourine Man, and the song would be used.
Yes.
But then when you have to clear it for worldwide, you have to change your music.
Well, an example of that would be Pink Floyd's Money being used in...
Only Fools and Horses.
But not on the video.
Right, so very recently, Only Fools and Horses has been repeated... Very brilliantly, two episodes a day on BBC One in the afternoon, completely uncut original episodes with the original dialogue, which they cut out later on. Like when they say stuff
yes,
like,
"I've noticed that actually." Yes,
they say things like "Packy Shop" and stuff like that.
I noticed a few of those. Yes,
which is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a product of its time, and that's how people used to speak, and that's the way it is.
I don't think they did. This is the thing. I don't think there are many other shows on when Only Fools... In the 80s, I think Only Fools and Horses is one of the few shows that still did that, which is good, because it was the way people would have spoken in Peckham at that time.
Yes.
Not everyone, but, you know, it was... But, yeah, I know... I didn't. It is weird. It does jar now. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon... To hear the word "packy shop" is quite strange.
Well, I mean, also they play recently cows, is it? Sheep? Oh, yeah, no, it's bullshit. Yes. 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes. I'm going to get a beer. Keep talking.
Which reminds me of the time when another thing where I remember when E.T., which is a youth certificate film, says the word "shit" appears twice and "penis breath." You know that, Tony?
I did know "penis breath." Yes.
So anyway, I watched this bit of One from the Grave.
Penis breath more offensive, or the constant featuring of M&Ms as a product placement. I find that more offensive than penis breath.
Yes, and Speak and Spell.
Speak and Spell,
and
yeah.
And Star Wars.
Yeah, and, well, Star Wars, yeah, that's an in-joke rather than a product placement.
There's a lovely moment, though, when Yoda turns up and you have the Yoda theme, because John Williams did the both soundtracks.
I don't know that bit. What bit's that? Is there a...
Halloween. There's a Halloween bit where Yoda walks past and you hear the Yoda theme. Mm. Now, going back to the One Foot in the Grave situation...
Yes.
So they basically had to replace the music from... Which it worked because he somehow gets stoned.
So what was it? It was Comfortably Numb?
No.
Sorry, why have I thought that?
So, basically...
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, so he gets stoned for some reason, and he's trying to learn it, and he's got a job, you know, a part-time job as a mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
Angus Deaton and Rula Lenska are at some kind of business meeting, and he's got himself a job cutting the lawn. He gets stoned somehow, or he's off his
That's
face.
A proper sitcom trope, that, isn't it? Accidentally getting stoned.
Well, it gets even worse. Talking about accidentally getting stoned. Then he drives around in his thing, some of you guys, all four of you, may have, probably even less.
Two of them are us, but listening to it in a minute.
he drives around and he's thinking, and then he drives into the office, cuts up all the rug, and you see all the rug go up, like you would see grass.
Yes.
And that's Glyn.
Glyn. Put him on speakerphone. It's our friend Glyn.
Hello, Glyn.
Hello.
How are you? We're doing a podcast.
You're being recorded on a podcast at the moment.
Podcast? Oh, really? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you're live on... you're not live. What do you want, Glyn?
Huh?
Oh, I rang him up and said, hey, do you want to come around for a drink?
Oh, right. I'm in the middle of town at the moment.
Would you want to come in after that?
Looking for holes.
I might, yeah.
Well, might see you later, then.
Yeah.
All right, well, come around. Give us a ring when you're... approaching the area, and if we're still up, we will be up.
Okay, cool. You enjoy your podcast.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Hey,
Glyn Wiley, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Weirdly, he pops up in Barking as an actor.
He does.
Quite a bit, which is quite strange to see. He's half the man he was.
Anyway, let me carry on.
Carry on.
So he cuts up the grass.
Cuts up the rug.
And then, basically, What happens is, Victor Meldrew then proceeds to go outside again off his face, but they could not use Mr. Tambourine Man music. It's some weird music that so it doesn't work. You don't know.
So they use some library music instead.
Library music, yeah, it's like tinkle tinkle stuff. And then what he does is he then, you think he's going to crash into...
If you like tinkle tinkle music, search it on iTunes with that search name.
He goes to, and then what he does is he then goes towards the like an outhouse, like a little conservatory thing, and he thinks he's going to crash into it, and he doesn't. And they'll go, oh, that was close. But then Ray Winston...
Double bluff.
Ray Winston? Ray Winston turns up, driving to the... He swerves Victor Meldrew, crashes into the outhouse, which falls down. Mm. Victor Meldrew then crashes into a perfectly placed man in the wheelchair, who then flies over a bad stunt. And then he says at the end, and then everything falls down, he goes, I've just finished the lawn, I think I've got the hang of this mower now, right?
Right.
Anyway, the whole point about this was... is this. At the time, that sitcom moment would
have
been...
You're very close to the microphone. We're popping.
My point is this. At that time, that sitcom moment would have sounded brilliant on paper. Now, it feels so ridiculous. I don't think you can ever get sitcom moments like that ever again.
Well, you couldn't get Ray Winston to do it ever again.
No, but I'm saying the idea of a sitcom moment, the subtlety of, for example, Only Fools and Horses, smashing the chandelier, realistic, yes. Believable...
Yes. And not expected.
And not expected, and believable, and also calamity, and funny.
Yes.
Compared to someone, a whole sequence based around that moment, for me, shows the flaw in One Foot in the Grave.
I was going to mention, because you brought up Only Fools and Horses, the one that was on today was the one where he falls through the bar.
Already?
It was on today. I don't know if they're skipping it. I suppose there's 5 a week, so they can get through them pretty quick. It's been on for a month or so.
And they show 2 a day, don't they?
They show 2 a day, of course.
Now it's on 1 a day because it's a 50-minute episode.
And
now.
It's Christmas as well, so they...
That is a brilliant episode. That, I mean,
and that's what I was going to say. There's been a lot of mocking of that. You know, Stuart Lee...
Best thing ever. Did he? He can fuck off.
Well, I
like Stuart Lee.
It's funny. The thing.
What's his point then? Tell me what his point was.
His point was that it's probably not the funniest thing that ever happened in the world, which I don't think it is.
Oh, but the way it's done is brilliant.
It's funny. I watched it today and it was funny. But I have seen...
And it still is funny. No, I'm sorry.
I think the problem he had with it was that it's shown a lot.
Do you know what's funny about
just
it?
Just that clip.
What's funny about it is not David Jason. It's Roger Lloyd-Pack's reaction.
And Will Thomas's perfect timing. Will Thomas from Front of the Funeral Parlour getting there, opening the thing and everything. You don't even notice him in the background. He's like a ghost. Yeah, but anyway, I saw that today, and it's... Yeah, I was thinking, oh, this one again, but I actually enjoyed watching it a lot.
Is that the one when he goes home and he has to pretend
he's
lived there?
Yes, that's the funnier thing.
Oh, go, please go.
Is him trying... Rodney going to a mansion that's not his house to impress Cassandra.
Now, you join us at a time...
She's funny. Her character was the funniest thing in the
movie. Oh, her and Raquel are the best female characters ever written.
I think Only Fools and Horses got 10 times better when Raquel and Cassandra joined.
Yeah,
I think that really made it. And you know when they had the baby Damien...
Oh.
When he grew up, that was funny.
You know, those last 3 episodes of Only Fools and Horses are the best I've ever seen. It got really good when Uncle Albert died, I think.
I think that's when it was at its best.
Here you go. I went to see Only Fools and Horses being filmed in 2001 or 2, and I saw it being recorded.
You saw it recording at BBC.
In the BBC Television Centre. Now, here, fans, people, basically, I remember... What you got to remember now is that things have changed and it's going to get even worse. They've sold the television centre, but there was a point where you go into the television centre, when I first was a runner on Shooting Stars, when you'd have... There were 8 studios at the BBC and they were all used,
yes,
right? So you'd be very busy. It was like the hub of television. So you'd have, you know, Absolutely Fabulous, The Fast Show. At one point, there was Fast Show, Absolutely Fabulous, Shooting Stars, Only Fools and Horses, like Watchdog... Blue Peter.
Well, I remember coming
Top of the
here
Pops,
just
all
for
being
one day,
the
just
time.
For one day, 3 studios next to each other was Shooting Stars, The Fast Show, and I'm Alan Partridge. All,
that's right.
All filming on the same night.
Oh.
Everyone having a drink. No, is it going to be libelous?
What?
What you're about to... You've just remembered what you're about to say.
No, I've got I should give it to Steve Coogan.
Oh, you've got some behind-the-scenes footage.
I've got behind-the-scenes footage. He doesn't even exist. Which was
that could be worth a lot of money, and give it another.
I'm going to give it to him because he's nice. He's a nice person.
Okay.
But I found when they were doing Shooting Stars, when they did Alan Partridge, they had a 4-wall set. So normally, if you
it was like a box.
It was a box. So bearing in mind, when you normally go and see a comedy fans listening, and there'll be hopefully four of them. Normally, obviously, you have the audience there, and then you have like a three-wall set, and they do all the, everything in front of you. But with Alan Partridge, they had you couldn't see anything if you were in the audience.
It was like it was hermetically sealed.
It was all like four-wall sets. They didn't want to have any of that in it, so all you would watch was what was on the monitors.
I think they may have had ceilings as well. I don't know.
They had everything, and it was very good.
That's quite rare on in a studio set.
And what I used to do when I was at the when I was a runner at the at BBC, I would record. What you'd have is a feed line going around all the studios, and in every studio you could, and there was a television and a video recorder, and I used to record the offline rehearsals.
Well, I think it was. I think you were in a unique position that you were a runner, but you were also
a fan.
Well, you were also an actor in it as well, a bit, so that you got a dressing room.
Yes,
with
that's right.
With the video recorder and the telly and the feed in it, you could sort of do that. So, and as a big fan as well.
So these days, for example, if you watch any DVDs and you get a lot of outtakes, you will see a lot of the studio like recordings outtakes because they recorded a lot of that stuff.
Mm.
They never recorded the rehearsals.
Right.
And I've got Chris Morris and Steve Coogan doing the whole cow scene.
The big farmer's argument.
Argument without when no makeup, no.
And ad-libbing, rehearsing,
the whole
stuff.
Thing. And it is very, very funny.
Are you legally allowed to own that?
I can own anything I like.
Oh, that's true. And you can just also say...
But also, I've never released it, and I've not...
No, of course not. And also, if anyone queries it, you can just say you just made all of that up.
I've also got Ricky Gervais coming to me, doing Derek very early on a videotape. I'm Rhys Thomas. He was as Derek, saying, which very soon you'll all see.
Ricky Gervais's sitcom Life's Too Short is on tomorrow, and I am in that episode. By tomorrow, I mean Thursday, the 15th
of December. So Ricky Gervais, who I used to know before he got incredibly famous, I was at the BBC where he was recording something. I remember going to I auditioned for Gareth.
Gareth, which was Mackenzie Crook.
Yes.
Got the part. The thing I remember that's sort of forgotten is that you were in the Ricky Gervais show before it was, what was it called, the Ricky Gervais show? Meet Ricky Gervais, which was his live show. He did like a studio based, it was a chat show and a bit of sketch, but I remember Reese,
tiny bit,
you were sitting in the audience pretending to be a member is that right?
Hey?
Reese is now opening more of other people's Christmas presents
these are
to drink wine.
These are my Christmas wines I'm opening.
Reese's Christmas wines.
I think people find it bloody interesting.
I think that this is the best podcast ever recorded.
I
think you've annoyingly stopped halfway through a story. I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, no, anyway. Yeah, so he was talking about... So, Ricky Gervais, I remember going to the... my ex-girlfriend was a makeup designer on The Office. She did both series.
Yes.
And I remember going to see it being recorded... Because I knew Ricky Gervais through XFM and through
the Edinburgh Rock Show. Yeah.
And we had a nice drink and we both had this sort of similar sense of humour. And I remember seeing, and no one knew what it was going to be. I mean, that's the thing about comedy, guys, out there. The things that everyone thinks will be a success is never the success you think it's going to be. Because my ex-girlfriend also did a series called Mr. Charity with Stephen Tompkinson about a charity shop owner who wasn't very charitable. Now, these were both made at roughly the same time. And the controller at the time, Jane Root of BBC Two, loved Mr. Charity and put it on a primetime slot and said, this is the thing.
I don't even really remember.
No, of course, no one does.
Right.
But The Office was put on over the summer, you know.
Didn't do very well at all.
And that's what happened. And she wasn't behind it. Now she's gone. She's also the person who acts Theresa Mortimer. And good riddance to the lady. She's now working on... last I heard of her, she's working on Discovery Channel. Now she was murdered.
By you?
By me, and lots of comedy fans.
Just for people that are keeping tally, I'm on my third beer. Reese is opening his second bottle of wine.
Now, let's talk about...
It's red. I don't know, what is it, a Merlot or a Shiraz? It's a Rioja.
I'm a Rioja man. Now, let's talk about Tony now for a second, and let's discuss... Oh, no, my point about the BBC was...
I was going to talk about the BBC,
Only Fools and Horses. I went to the recording of it.
Yes, of course.
I went to the recording of Only Fools and Horses, and what was amazing about seeing that, like, sitting there, seeing the set and everything like that... Because a couple of years before that, they recorded the... I remember when they recorded the last three, where they become millionaires.
Mm.
I remember...
The best ones. The best episodes.
I remember going in, and I've still got it upstairs in my loft. I remember going into the studio after it finished and stealing one of the camera scripts.
Wow.
So I had all... I knew exactly what was going to happen in the episodes that were
right,
defined.
Right. Because you don't get to see all of that necessarily in the studio, do you?
No.
And there were always stories of the sort of almost paranoid security on Only Fools.
Well, they were very...
The fact that they didn't film in London because they got mobbed, they'd film out in the middle of nowhere. True. And then
I remember what was interesting about seeing those two work was that David Jason was quite slightly haphazard. So he would not be... He would take
not
like
on
three,
his lines?
No, he would be like... It'd take about four goes.
Right.
And then the fifth go would be like, boom.
That's
it
what
was
I do.
Brilliant.
That sounds like me.
It sounds like you. And
I'm Nic- not brilliant. The fifth Nicholas- one is... with me, though, the fifth one, fourth one is, you know, it's usable. Not brilliant.
Nicholas Lyndhurst... was always the same.
And Nick
Lyndhurst was completely, like, always knew exactly what he was doing and very mannered and very good. And the combination of the two of them was obviously what made it work, because one was very, very precise, the other one was kind of haphazard, but then the combination was really good. So what you'd find with David Jason, he'd have to butter, you know, a lot of, you always see him doing a lot of business.
Yeah.
Buttering
eating,
bread, eating,
drinking, smoking, mucking about with a cigar,
that's all,
phones.
That's buying time.
Because he doesn't know his he doesn't know his words.
Well, also, but it's also, it's natural as well. But he seemed to be kind of he was amazing to watch. And this was the last sort of three, and after we went up to the BBC
ones.
Bar,
they don't call them the last three, the best ones.
The best
That's
ones.
What
went to the BBC Bar afterwards, and Roy Heather said the cafe.
Oh, well, Roy Heather, who was in front of the funeral bar
as well. That's how we knew him.
Lovely man, and also in Time, Gentlemen, Please.
Mm.
I think,
well, that's
yeah, but he was in that quite a bit.
That's a good. That's someone who never gave up on a character, isn't it?
Well, and yeah, that worked.
And look, it worked in the end.
Yeah, I think that he must have had more knockbacks than most, and he's still doing.
Well, I've got a thing. When Lucy was at Cambridge, there's a from 1996. There's a like a prospectus kind of like thing. And it's like him doing the pub landlord then.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was doing it long before that as well. He was doing it way back.
He was 8 years old.
Yeah.
He's a lovely man. He loves Genesis and Queen, and I like him too.
And that means that even if Adolf Hitler came to you and you said, you are the biggest criminal in the history of man, and he said, but I like Genesis, you'd say, oh, well, actually, you're probably all right then.
I would have done, but I would have, if they'd played...
What I would ask you now, you've asked this question, how does a 33-year-old man come to love Queen and Genesis quite as much as you do? But let's not get too much into it.
Okay.
A short answer.
Short answer. Well, I suppose I was always an outsider.
Like
we love saying that. No, I like songs. I like songs that go last more than 4 minutes and have a recurring theme.
Yeah.
And I remember
this isn't an attack, by the way. It's a genuine question.
No, I'm interested in musical. It's weird, isn't it? Because you know they are like. It's funny, isn't it? These even Genesis is still one of the biggest bands of all time.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
But at the same time, why are they so successful? Why are they so popular? Because they could do everything, I suppose. And even though, like, it's weird, even though some of the biggest bands, these are, like, two of the biggest bands that ever existed, known all around the world, yet they are kind of considered, like, not cool or whatever. Not so much Queen, but Genesis. And I think that's because they're sort of forgotten about, and they're considered, like, sort of passé, and people growing up with them. I just like them. And in fact, I remember there's a boy at school called Simon who loved Genesis. I remember mocking him, saying, "You listen to Genesis, they're rubbish."
And he was like, he knew he was in the know
at
a young age, at 11.
I like, you know, what's interesting when you hear them, it's like it's all the ideas that go on. You know,
it's quite gentle. It's quite gentle bullying, that, isn't it? To go up to someone at school and say, "You like Genesis."
It is gentle bullying, but he had massive wide eyes. He looked like he was
Man. I remember. Yeah. Well, let's not get into him. He's a big fan of the hit podcast, Rhys Thomas and Tony Wade podcast.
But you know what?
Thomas and Wade podcast.
Know him, right, okay? You know, thing is, someone like the Mighty Boosh...
Yes.
...are the comedy equivalent of Genesis. And that's what people don't realise.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
You know, like Breaking New Grounds.
Early Genesis.
Not... everyone does this. They go, oh, early, late Genesis.
No, but there is a big difference. There's a big difference. I wouldn't say... If you're going to go down the Mighty Boosh analogy, you can't say that the Mighty Boosh are like 80s Genesis, because they're just not. They are like 70s Janet.
But I asked Noel Fielding once if he liked Peter Gabriel.
That doesn't mean he'd like him.
No, but he didn't. No, I asked if he liked Genesis, and he didn't like them at all. He loves Queen. He hates Genesis. But no one really. If I did you all a compilation of five songs that last 15 hours, you would all like it. No, Bob Mortimer gave me, because I told Bob I loved Queen.
Get that name up off the floor.
Ah! He gave me, no, he was the one who introduced me to Genesis. He gave me Lamb Lies Down on Broadway CD. He bought it for me, and that was it.
But Bob's into much more hardcore prog rock than Genesis as well, though. I think I remember.
Yes, he likes Spock's beard. And,
yeah, he's into, I don't know, yeah. I remember
But he also loves Dexys Midnight Runners, which is another one of my favourite
bands.
Bob
likes good music. I think that's the thing. It's just choosing good music. I think that's the thing. There's no need to be apologetic about liking Genesis or Queen. Because they've got... Yeah, no, you should never be about your taste.
I never have been.
That terrible thing of guilty pleasures is really
That whole guilty horrible. Pleasures thing, actually, no, it's bullshit.
Pleasure. A pleasure's a pleasure. If you like... I would... You know, people... Kate Bush is not a guilty pleasure. Kate Bush is brilliant.
No, Kate Bush... It was like, if a guilty pleasure was, like, step to a guilty pleasure, right? Let's be honest.
Yeah, but who gets pleasure out of that?
No one.
Exactly. The point is... it's just guilty.
It's just guilty, exactly. But, you know, you can't...
Well, if you do love steps, don't feel guilty about it. Just... You just like
it. They've just reformed.
I don't know why. Well, I do know why.
Last night, two nights ago, on my 33rd birthday, Tony Way happened...
Instead of celebrating...
It's my birthday, attended the... Tony is in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Let's have a round of applause. Where's the posse? So, come on, tell us all about that, then.
I've got a factoid for you.
Okay.
No, I haven't really. It was good. It was really good.
Always know his name drop. I would not burp on radio.
I think it came up. I'm looking at the thing. I think there might be a little. You see the round blob on the screen.
How many people have listened? This is 31 minutes long so far.
It's short. Well, we won't go on forever. At some point, we'll need to have a wee or a cigarette. Well, I will have a cigarette. Reese doesn't smoke.
I do sometimes if I'm having a drink.
How loud that is. What was I going to say? Yeah, it was really good. The film is brilliant. I can't talk about it because there's an embargo.
Is it really an embargo?
On the film itself. All I can tell you is... fantastic.
Can I say, embargoes normally... they normally have embargoes on, like, cargo.
Yeah, this is considered cargo. This film is so hot, it's considered...
Tell them about when you met his mum. Come on,
I met Daniel Craig's mum last night. She was lovely.
Fit?
She looked like a mum. A lovely mum.
How old?
I genuinely don't know. She's got
over 50.
Old enough to... Well, Daniel Craig's 40.
Yeah, he must be over 50.
So, yeah, unless she had him when she was 10. She was over 60. But she was lovely. I can't talk too much about it. All I can say is it was raining outside. It was really wet.
And Ollie Murs was there.
Ollie Murs was there.
Matt Cardle?
No, it was Matt Cardle. Ollie Murs wasn't there. And I did think, what the hell has this got to do with Matt Cardle? Really, seriously, I looked over at Alex, my girlfriend Alex, said, "That's Matt Cardle." And she said, "Matt Cardle's here," as if it was an exciting thing. She was joking. And I thought, why? I don't know, maybe he loves the film.
He won't. He goes because he's invited.
Well, I did notice that.
Are the only way he's Essex people there?
I didn't see any. To be honest, I didn't get involved a lot in that. I don't get involved in much of that business.
There are two.
I march up the red carpet. No one wants to take my picture anyway. No. Go straight in, straight up, get my free drink and a nut.
Do they have nuts?
Watch the film. They didn't. They had little mini sausages, tiny mini sausages. I don't know why I've never seen
it. Craig's mummy had mini sausages.
So, sausage and mash, okay? This is with these posh parties. It's deconstructed.
Tiny version of food.
So it was a sausage.
Borrowed food.
But instead of mash on the side, it was piped on top like icing. A little bit of mash. It was delicious.
So basically, it's borrower's food, right?
Borrower's food, yeah. Little fish and chips, eaten with an old school compass.
Can I give you a full thing, a full one?
I would be a bit weird if everyone was standing around with a tray of dinner.
Did Daniel Craig eat anything while you were there?
I have no idea. I saw him literally before I went into the thing, and he said, "Hello, Tony," and we had a little chat.
You know, we might as well just drop loads of names right while we're here.
Yeah, go on. I'm just going to drop some lines.
Dickie Attenborough.
He was there.
No, he wasn't there. He wasn't there.
He was there. I had a chat with him.
No, I met him.
He said his brother's a lying shit for putting those fake polar
now,
bears.
Let me say something.
They
now,
wasn't
to
there.
I genuinely
thought Dickie Attenborough was there. Then I realised it was another old man with a wet beard, and it wasn't Dickie Attenborough. Easily done.
Two things.
If you walk through Soho any night, you will always see at least six Dickie Attenboroughs, and none of them are him.
I met the real Dickie Attenborough, right?
Right. When?
10 years ago, there's a thing at the
current news
BFI, and he funnily film pod just come out, right?
BFI stands for Big Friendly
Infantile. And so he was at this screening, and I met him, and he had a lot of hors d'oeuvres and fish based, and he was spitting like tuna things in my eyes, but I loved him, and I honestly think.
Dickie, not David. Dickie.
There are three films that he's made which are absolutely the best.
The bomb.
Gandhi, whatever you say.
Brilliant.
Is an amazing film.
No one would argue.
Shadowlands is an...
Never seen it.
Ah,
lend it to me. Lend it to me this evening.
I lend it to you. And A Chorus Line. Which is completely different.
And The Mask 2.
What?
When he did film E, directed The Mask 2.
Dumber and Dumber he did.
Dumber and Dumber.
The sequel, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant
work. But he, Mr. Attenborough, I remember someone said, I've written a sitcom. I was the youngest person still to this day to ever write and star in my own sitcom. And that's still
BBC Three Fun at the Funeral Parlour.
Yes,
but although I thought it was the girl that wrote Two Pints of Lager. Isn't she the youngest girl that wrote a sitcom?
She didn't star in it. She's a year older than me.
I wrote and starred.
Okay, thank you very much. But it's very much forgotten now. And also.
No, it's not. It's
even Jack Whitehall, when he writes his own thing, is older than I am.
Oh, he is now, yeah.
Cunt. No, he's nice.
No!
I'm just jealous that he's been nominated for so many awards. Awards mean nothing. Let me tell you guys about awards. No, I won't go into that. now, let's talk about... What else? What's insightful for the guys listening to this?
I think we should talk about something in the news. Something recent. Something that places this podcast in the here and now. I was talking to you earlier about the man... that ended up with, I think, 7,000 copies of a yachting magazine on him. An old man, and half of his ceiling fell through his loft. What do you think about that?
Silly bugger.
Who the fuck stores 7,000 of those?
Well, I've got about 50 Doctor Who magazines.
50? That's not... Yeah. Were you...
Well, no, hang on.
Have you got every Doctor Who magazine?
No, for about 4 years I bought every single one. So I've got like four
age?
Times 12.
What age did you have those?
From the age of, from 1992 until 1996.
You got Doctor Who.
I got loads of Doctor Who magazines. And I stopped.
When it's completely, you got it at its least popular point then?
Yeah, that's when I
You got it when it wasn't
I've
on
always
television.
Liked things when it's least popular. Like Wham.
How weird.
I loved Wham when they'd split up.
Yeah. You didn't even like Freddie Mercury when he was alive.
No, I didn't. I wasn't really a Queen fan. No, I wasn't. No, I remember when he died. What happened to me was
wrong. Queen. I shouldn't have brought this back to Queen.
No, seriously.
Should have stuck on Wham.
When he died, I'm thinking this is the first person I've known who's not that old who's died, and you go,
no,
oh,
it's a shock. I remember it being.
You
a
You must have
school.
Done the same.
It
thing.
It was a big deal at school.
It was a big deal.
I remember it being a big deal.
Because you go, hang on.
And one of the first people that it came out that the reason was AIDS as well.
Yes.
That was a big deal.
And it's almost... now I'm thinking to myself, you know, you dread... It's so weird. Like, you think, not long from now, you know, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, Michael Caine, they're all going to go. Not long from now. Michael Caine, Sean Connery is 82 or something. Clint Eastwood's 82 or whatever it is. David Attenborough's 85.
I thought you could say he was 82 as well.
They're all 82.
They're all 82. That's the oldest you can be and then you die.
No, but, you know, hey, listen, I've been watching Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the original.
The original. Well, have you seen the new film? Let's just clarify.
No, I haven't
that.
Seen that yet. No,
it's very good.
I've... Two small children, I go to the cinema, apart from children's films. In fact...
Did your two toddlers not want to see Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy at the cinema?
No. The last thing... Do you know what? The last adult film I went to see, when Polly was about...
The Titanic.
No, it was... went to see the Ian Dury film.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really... It was really
ages ago.
No, but I was really enjoying it, and she woke up. And,
Okay. I'm guessing Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll was a 15...
Yeah,
is it
baby
okay to sing a baby?
Well,
I don't know.
There are baby clubs, right? Baby cinema.
I see.
And if they're under a certain age, under one, yeah, they can watch
bring them in.
Shit. Yeah, they can watch like porn.
Traumatise them.
They can watch like hardcore porn.
No, I don't know. Well, that's not in cinemas, is it?
No, in Dalston, there's a hard... At the Dalston Rio, they show hardcore porn on a Thursday, and you can bring... It's kids' club. So if you want to watch porn, dirty stuff,
yeah,
you can still bring your kids.
Called the Kids and Cunt Club, isn't it?
The Kids and Cunt Club. And, you know, so you get lots of, you know, spunking things. And I personally, I'm a lesbian. I like watching lesbians.
Yes, your specific choice.
Listen, can I say, I'm not...
I love... You know what? I do like lesbian porn. I like it when they don't want anything to do with me. I like to see two ladies who are happy with each other and have got no interest in penis.
Here's my thing, Tony.
Right out my street.
Here's a revelation to you, Tony, and to you four listeners. I've never been a fan of porn.
No, I can believe that.
You could go through my entire... You could go through, like, when I die, right, okay, there's no skeletons in my closet, as it were. They will go through my, like, oh, what's this untitled DVD? What's
right, that? Yeah, yeah.
Pictures of John Deacon. You know, like, pictures of John Deacon spotted at a hotel.
But for you, that's a kind of porn.
It's a kind of porn. It's a kind of magic. Never.
It's just not a wanky kind of porn.
Don't like it. I never see the point. And I don't. You know, I'd like to discuss this further on the Matthew Wright show, but...
Well, you'll be back there again. When are you going back to Matthew?
I quite enjoy that, but then...
You know what? I watch Matthew Wright every day I'm in.
You watched me on it?
I watched you on it a couple of times. I watched the Matthew Wright show. It's called The Wright Stuff. I don't know if you know the name of
That's
it.
That's right, yeah.
Not The Matthew Wright Show. It's really good. I enjoy it. It's opinionated. It's good. He's a live wire.
Do you know what? Can I say something about Matthew Wright? And yes. This is the truth. He is really nice.
I'm sure he is.
He is not a bad person.
Who thinks he is?
I think people think because he worked for the Sun or whatever. No, he
was at the Mirror.
No, Mirror, yeah. So he's on the right side of the law.
Well, at the moment, yeah.
Well, they're all fucked, aren't they? The papers. Let's talk about the papers.
Let's not talk too much about the papers. Let's talk about something that's pertinent and happening very soon, which is Christmas.
Yeah.
What are you, Reece Thomas?
Are we going to stop an hour?
I think we should stop around the hour mark.
So that's got
more
an hour.
That's more than enough of this nonsense. Okay. It's completely unstructured.
Yeah.
As he goes away, I don't know what he's off to do. He's going to get something. He's going to open the door and smoke out the window. You won't hear him. Reece Thomas, Christmas is coming. What are you doing over the Christmas period?
I'm going to be at home with my family in Sheffield, and for all the burglars out there, there are people staying in my house to make sure that it's looked after.
That is a big worry these days. There is a Twitter account that is, it's called something like Burglar Alert, and when someone, it's a jokey thing, but could be used genuinely by burglars. Every time someone tweets going on holiday, they retweet it and say Burglar Alert.
Well, you know, Susan, the pretty girl from BBC
Susan
Breakfast.
Boyle. Yeah, Susan Boyle.
No, the pretty girl, Susan from BBC Breakfast, the pretty one. The pretty girl.
I don't know their names. I know Bill Turnbull.
Bill Turnbull, he's a knob end, right? He's a prick. Oh, he's a prick.
Is he?
But the girl who's on it, Susan thingy, she got burgled whilst doing the show.
Doing the breakfast?
Out. Yeah, yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
She did. That's one of the major pitfalls of doing live telly.
That's right, you know, they're not in. And Nick Ross is going to be London Mayor.
The thing is,
Nick Ross,
that would be ironic.
I would love that.
Nick Frost was live on Crime Watch and he got burgled while he was doing that. That would be good.
It wouldn't
be good.
What if the host of Crime Watch got murdered on a doorstep?
That would be so ironic. I wonder if that would ever happen. He was a Queen fan. He didn't do it.
He was a Queen fan. No, who did it? No, he probably did do it. No, you know who did
no,
do
he
it?
Didn't do it. He didn't do it.
You know who?
He was.
No,
he was,
yeah, no, he didn't do it. But you know, the rumours are that it's.
No, can't you can't say that. You can't.
What's his on?
Doesn't matter. It means you could lose this lovely house you're in.
No, I like
say it, and I'll beep it. Because it might be interesting. I'll definitely beep it. I'm gonna have to cut that. So, welcome back to the Reece Thomas, It's Only Way podcast. Major revelation there.
Rumors,
I don't know why they would have done it.
No, I don't. That was a rumour going around at the time. Interestingly enough, I knew somebody worked at Sky News. And
once again, careful of libel.
Let's have a look. Listen, can I use an egg cup?
We were talking about Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
and we're using a child's egg cup as a...
It's not a child's egg cup, we don't use that.
Not a child's egg cup, a lovely egg cup with the British Embassy.
This is the best hour I've ever spent.
Buckingham Palace, not the child's egg cup.
Here's a little interesting fact for you guys. Buckingham Palace in 1837 was not the quadrangle it is now. It was three-sided.
Yes.
And with marble arch in the centre.
The back was the front before that.
Because Buckingham House was the back. I've been researching for a new project that I'm working on, which is...
tight lips, keep it quiet, don't tell no one. But it's about Godzilla. He's making a new Godzilla. Godzilla in London.
Godzilla the film, what happened to that? Was that Emmerich, your guys?
It was Roland Emmerich, yeah. Lovely Roland.
What was the stories about that?
The stories, I didn't hear any. I think it's sort of been...
I think stories about that film.
It's one of the ones they don't talk about so much, I think. I'm sure some people liked it. That's the thing. There's always one person that likes something.
Do you remember? Hang on, sorry, let's go back a second. In the 90s, in the late 90s, there was a thing called National Cinema Day where every film was a pound.
Yes, they kept it going, and it's worst, I think you got a third off.
We saw James and the Giant Peach...
Braveheart,
and 6 Days, 7 Nights. Harrison
Beavis
Ford.
And Butthead the movie.
I didn't go and see
you
that.
You didn't see that one.
Fuck
but
that.
There was another couple as well. We saw loads of films in one day. That was a good day. And it all
did
cost
we see,
us about 5
quid. Didn't we see it? What was the other one? Air Force One, wasn't it? Air Force One. So what about 6 Days, 7 Nights was a year later?
Yeah, but maybe... I know Braveheart was about 3 years older.
And you'd never seen it before, had you?
No. And you wouldn't believe that I guessed that the Irish were going to join the Scots. You wouldn't believe
because he'd obviously read the history books.
No, I just didn't. No, because it doesn't happen. That didn't really.
Have you seen Russell Crowe in Robin Hood?
If I wanted to guess what happens in Braveheart, the last place I'd look is a history book. Nothing in that film really happened. Apologies if it's got a bit louder in here. The back door is now open for smoke. You may hear an occasional plane. We're in Hackney. You may hear a shooting.
This is. I've never enjoyed myself so much since I did the Ian Lee show and got him sacked.
You got him sacked?
No, I didn't get him sacked.
Oh, dear.
I did a voice and that was controversial.
Well, you can do it tonight. It's uncensored. What's that for?
Hello. I'm nice to be here. I hope you're happy.
It's Nelson Mandela.
So let's go back to...
Asked me what I'm doing for Christmas. The polite thing would be to...
What are you doing for Christmas, Tony?
Not a lot.
Nothing. What have you got? What are you eating? What bird?
Turkey, big turkey.
Why do you have to eat a bird at Christmas?
I don't know, it's tradition, isn't it?
We'll be eating your bird at Christmas.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, if you let
breast
me
or vagina.
That's not how innuendo works. You're supposed to tag it along a bit first.
Breast or pussy?
What do you. Yes.
I hate that. Do you hate people who go pussy? I've been to Thailand and they say pussy all the time.
It's very American.
In fact, they say pussy for. Like little kids.
I prefer the much less sexist term of rat.
That's horrible.
No, that was the joke.
It's only 12 past 10.
It's early. We're a bit drunk. We're recording on a podcast. 4 people are listening.
I think we should
it's nearly Christmas.
I think we should sort of like talk about here from this last sort of 13 minutes of live podcast things that someone like might want to be interested in. Other than what we're doing for Christmas.
I think people would be interested in what we're going to do tomorrow. We don't have to say where it happens, but there's a lovely thing that happens every year.
We go for an annual Christmas drink.
Annual Christmas drink in town, in London town.
Dog and Duck.
What kind of people will turn up at that?
Paul Whitehouse, Charlie Higson.
And most of the Far Show crew.
Far Show lot.
Simon.
Harry Enfield.
Harry Enfield, Robert Popper.
Bob Mortimer might be coming.
Bob Mortimer may be coming. The lovely thing.
Carl Pilkington came once.
Carl Pilkington came once before he was the big man you know now. He was doing podcasting, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't seen him for a long time. He was my first producer at XFM.
He was a good producer. This is what everybody knows.
He was very funny. In fact, we nearly did a show together and he didn't do it. Everything he says sounds funny, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And he had that book was brilliant, the jellyfish book he's got. Have you read that?
I've not read it, no. I've just bought another one. I bought one on, I don't know whether I'm going to read it or not, the one that is from the Idiot Abroad. His diary for that.
But then, I was always thinking about that money for old rope, right? Let's go back to the title about David Attenborough thing about Frozen Planet.
Yes.
That's not deceiving the public at all.
No, it's nonsense. It's the Daily Mail.
They are so. The Daily Mail is the reason why they hate the BBC. Why do they hate the BBC so much? Yet they give them 5-star reviews.
It's because they're little Englanders, and that's what people they like to do. They like to complain.
Why do they want to? I hate the Daily Mail. My mum reads it.
Well, she shouldn't.
Oh,
it makes you. It makes you have horrible opinions.
You know, everything
all you read.
Everything. Well, everything.
My favourite sketch that Charlie Brooker ever wrote was Daily Mail Island in TV Go Home.
Mm.
And that is, I think, genuinely would it would be what happened.
I've run out of cigarettes. Will you do a roll up?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a wee. And you can keep talking. Okay. And I'll come back. And then we'll wrap things up. I'll be back.
Okay. Don't say anything bad about me.
Tony's a paedophile, and it's very hard to come to terms with it because when I was at school, he would have a... I remember going around to his house, and he'd always have adverts on... he'd always record the nappy adverts. So when you go into his house and you say, oh, let's watch something you've recorded, like he'd say, I found something funny on telly, but there'd be like an hour of Pampers ads with like babies having their bums wiped and... You know, seeing the blue liquid going into the nappy, and we all thought this is odd. You know, and years later, he abducted 3 children from a hospital. I won't name them. I won't name the hospital. They're now back with their parents. But he would take pictures. He would do things that I don't want to talk about. You know, anyway. But I like him, and the thing about when you know someone like Tony, who is your friend from a long time, and you know they have this little secret past about themselves, you kind of forgive them, and you kind of think, well, maybe they've got a problem, and it's from his childhood, because I know Tony was... Tony was accosted by a soldier. Soldier.
Back. I must say, I don't know what you're talking about there. I'll find out when I listen to it back. I'm always impressed by how glamorous your bar downstairs, Lou, is.
Yeah.
It's like a dressing room.
Why?
Because it's got like lovely mirrors and mosaic-style tiles.
And?
It's like being in a hotel.
But also, what else
Bookshelf,
is in there?
Bookshelf.
And?
A toilet.
And what's on the wall hanging from the wall?
A platinum disc for...
A platinum disc.
For a Queen release that you produced.
Which... brings me neatly
to... I get the feeling that your voice is going to be really loud on this. Just looking at the spikes on the thing, look how low my voice is compared to now you speak.
My wife, right, okay, is...
My wife.
My wife is in a 5-star reviewed show.
Brilliant.
Unanimously 5-star show called Company by Stephen Sondheim in the Sheffield Crucible. Sold out.
Is it going to come to the West End?
It looks like it's very coming to the West End. So you sit there.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, God. Again?
The beautiful sound of metal on glass. and classily drinking straight from the can.
Yeah. And I met... And we went to the opening night to drop more names... These aren't named. The aforementioned.
Luna Stubbs.
Richard Wilson.
Oh, no, that's
and
a name.
Derek Jabarby.
Did you tell him how much you hated that episode?
No, I didn't tell him that. He came outside and he went, where do I live? I went, I think you live that way. He went, he walked off. And I also met, I didn't meet him.
That's the best story I've ever heard.
Should I tell him about Mike Smith? Fuck off and run.
It's true.
It's a true story.
I know the story. It is true. Go for it.
When I was doing Shooting Stars years ago, bearing in mind, you'd meet people like... I remember you'd have... I was like 17.
You were a runner.
I was a runner. So you'd meet like really famous people. I had people... we'd be like Dervla Kerwin.
Mm. Robbie Williams at the height.
Robbie Williams.
Oasis.
Yeah, he asked me to go upstairs and get him a bottle of vodka. And he gave me 20 quid. And I gave him the change. He went to keep the change and I insisted he took the
change. That's rare. Rare that you get given the cash.
Give me the cash.
Often runners end up out of pocket.
Yes, that's true. And Robbie Coltrane, who else? Richard E. Grant.
Cannon and Ball.
Cannon and Ball, loads of people. Sarah Green was in one episode.
Yeah.
And it was, she was still...
Wife of.
It was only 3 years after
wife
going
live. Wife and owner of Carphone Warehouse with, of...
Mike Green. Smith.
Smith.
Former, basically, he was the Chris Miles of his day without any of the... with Chris Miles is still hanging.
He did Breakfast Show, man.
Yeah, he did the Breakfast Show for a long time. And he said to me
Radio 1.
Bearing in mind, he was like the Chris Miles of his day, but this was still 10 years after he was the Chris Miles of his day.
And he was never really the Chris Miles of his day.
He was never really... No, he was
no Chris Evans.
He was like... He was a prip.
Well, let's tell him why he was a prip.
Because I said to him... it was Lynn Perry from... Is she still alive?
Oh, that's a very famous episode.
She's still alive?
I think so.
She got her chicken fillets out.
She ruined the tumbleweed joke by going...
Yeah, all that stuff. He was there and he went... And it was a ladies' night episode. So everyone was... it was like a purely female audience.
Sarah Green was one of the ladies.
And apart from Mark Lamar, was the only man. Mm. And he goes, where's he gone? Where's he now?
Mike Reed?
Mike Lamar.
Mark Lamar. Does he still do a Radio 2
show?
He did a ska night. He used to do a good ska reggae show that was good.
He was a funny fella. Odd fella.
Funny peculiar or funny ha-ha?
Not good to me. Mm. Anyway, so...
How is your bottom?
It's all right, thanks. So, Sarah Green is doing this Shooting Stars, and
yes.
There's Mike Smith in the wings watching it, and I go, I said, oh, it's fun tonight. Are you enjoying yourself? He went, yeah. Yes. What do you do? And I went, I'm a runner. He went, fuck off and run.
Oh.
And I went, oh, okay. I laughed. I think it was a joke. He went, yeah. No, I mean it. Fuck off and run.
Nice.
That, what are you here? So I did. I didn't run, but I sort of walked away. And I thought, you'd never... What? Who laughed last?
What a cunt. Well, he did, because he owned Carphone Warehouse.
Did he really own Carphone Warehouse?
He did, yeah, he did.
Let's find out.
I think he's probably sold out now and made millions and millions and millions of pounds.
He died almost in a helicopter crash. Do you know the story about Noel Edmonds?
Is this one might be libelous.
It's in the book.
Which book? Book of Lies.
It's in the Bible.
I think we can not tell that story and just agree that Mike Smith...
I love the fact you're doing some kind of bloody thing whereby you're... it's good you're here.
Yes, to stop you from saying things that you...
Yeah, but who's listening to it? Can I just
this is the thing. It doesn't matter. If
who, is this approved by iTunes when I listen to this?
No, but...
Will they sit here and listen to this shit for
No, they
hour?
Won't at all. No, the thing is, if it goes out... And
someone
even if only a couple
it.
Of people listen to it and you say something libelous about Mike Smith... It will be you that gets sued because you said it. So I'm protecting your interests.
You're very kind. Thank you, Tony.
I'm not doing it for my own interests.
When you went to the toilet, I said you're a paedophile.
I'm going to sue you for libel.
I said that you...
I didn't really go to the toilet. I went up and just stood at the end of your children's bed and just looked at them.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because I said that you would record nappy adverts.
That was you! You just... Now, there was a moment, that noise is going to be... There was a couple of years, when we were very young, we were still at school, at sixth form, we would go to Reese's house and watch things he recorded from TV, Ruse and Walker, all sorts of different things. Every time, every single video he would put on was paused and about to play on a nappy advert. And what more can I say? That's what he'd watched last.
Listen, daytime TV is full of nappy adverts, right? I'll record shit in daytime TV.
In the hope that you'd catch a few nappy adverts.
It's the best thing.
You need to know what you're going to be buying in later life.
You know, for me, yeah. And I'm sorry, the Pampers design cannot be beat.
Is this from your fathering experiences?
No, do you know what? Like, okay, I tell you what, the Huggies are the best.
It's good to know this. I mean, I have no
They're cheaper.
Clue.
But, you know, I try to be organic and have organic nappies, but they make them itch. And
made out of moss
they're not,
and stuff.
They're not good for kids.
No.
They're not happy, you know. Oh, come on, they're little babies. They don't want to...
And also, it's a lovely idea. You don't want to be washing cloth, poo cloth, all of the time, do you?
Do you wash poo cloth?
The cloth that nappies, you have to boil wash them, don't you? Is that...
Oh, no, you have to... Well, bearing in mind, when we were young,
the but I think there's a lot of people that like to do that now, that will have the reusable cloth.
Okay, but at the same time, you're going to spend a lot as much time washing stuff in a tumble dryer.
Yeah.
Which is just as bad for the carbon footprint.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
It's a very good
point. We've covered nappies, only fools and horses, paedophiles.
I've covered so many nappies. Just
listen, we are now coming to our last 50 seconds.
We're coming up to the hour mark, so I'm not sure what form this has taken. It's a bit rambled. But anyway, it's a Merry Christmas from us.
Merry Christmas from us and...
A Merry Christmas from...
Richard Wilson,
Mike Smith. He wouldn't. He just... Yeah,
no, fuck no, him.
That cunt. Merry Christmas from all of the gang at Only Fools and Horses. A Merry Christmas from the Huggies children.
I love that you get all the gang of Only Fools and Horses. Cassandra, Raquel.
Cassandra, Raquel.
Mickey Pierce. Mickey Pierce goes, he's a druggie.
He's in the news, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, we can say that, can't we?
But you know what? You look at him, it's not a surprise, is it?
Good night, Mickey Pierce.
Night, Mickey.
See you soon.
What was his real name?
Patrick Murray. Good night.
It's like an encyclopedia. Anyway, good night, everybody. This is a Merry Christmas from Tony Way and Reese Thomas, and we might do another one of these next Christmas.
It's quite funny. Give me a roll-up.
I'm going to make some roll-ups. Good night.